To the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and I'm here with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman.
I think we should go with Tired Newman.
Andrew, 1 minute Newman, but today he was 5 minutes, or 7 minutes.
All right, moving on.
And we have...
Thank you. Thanks, Jack.
Jack's going to be the unofficial timekeeper.
Jack keeps a lot of our stats on the wall there, I guess, huh?
Speaking of Jack, we want to thank our executive producer and our engineer, Jack Inslee, for a beautiful job. Today's show is sponsored by 360 Cookware. It's the top-of-the-line stainless steel cookware that is made in America in the greenest cookware manufacturing facility in the country. That's interesting. It can be used to make all your favorite recipes, but it also gives the option to cook using vapor technology, which creates a seal that surrounds food with intense heat, locking in vitamins, moisture, and flavor without added oil, fat, or excess water. Visit our website at 360cookware.com for more information. That's very very nouveau these days, this vapor technology. I'm hearing a lot about it regarding cooking.
Yeah, that's like that chemical cooking.
Correct. Chemical. So transforming it from one form to the other. Interesting. And so today's show, the name of our show today is Big Kids Cost Big Bucks.
You can download us free on a podcast. What happened to that part of the show?
I'm going to get to that.
Oh.
Today's show, I told you today's show is Big Kids Cost Big Bucks. We broadcast live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. And if you can't listen live, you can always listen anytime. All shows are archived on the website on heritageradionetwork.com, and you can download a free podcast and listen to our show anywhere, in the airplane, anywhere. So call us during the show. We'd love to hear from you. We have ability to take your calls, or you can email us during the show. We'll answer and talk to you. The phone number is
718-497-2128. 718-497-2128. I know you didn't want me to say 718, but it just rolls off the tongue so quick.
Or
so
info@heritageradionetwork.com. So today's show, Big Kids Cost Big Bucks. And so what's it about? It's about, you know, everybody knows you have a kid and you need a lot of money. How much does it cost? That's a famous question. So everybody knows, of course, like, it depends on, of course, it depends on your income, but the more you make, the more your kid costs, right? So let's talk about when they're one, they're 11, and then they're 21, and then they're 31, and then, God, whatever. Andrew's got a personal investment in this show this week.
No, he doesn't.
You'll see.
Oh, please.
As time goes on, Andrew will explain what his personal investment in the show
You're
is.
You're making assumptions that you cannot back
maybe
up.
Maybe he won't explain it, but you'll hear it.
No, see, now I'm not even going to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
See, that's what you do. See, why do you do that?
Then why are we on the radio?
We're on the radio to talk and give information, but you're making assumptions about what I'm going to say before I even say it.
Well, you've talked about this in the past.
In the past, I'm moving on.
In the very recent,
I'm moving on now. See, let's get through the show and then we can.
All right, let's talk.
We can argue about this all day.
Let's talk about little kids grow up. As they grow up, their allowances increase, right?
No. I never got an allowance. So
you did too.
I did not. All right, moving on. Let's go. All right, their allowances increase.
Okay. Their childcare decreases. Childcare expenses decrease generally. Now, I want to say something before that. I got an email the other day, or a phone call the other day. This blew my mind. But it blows my mind every time I get these kind of phone calls. A client of mine, have a new baby, and they want to hire a babysitter, a nanny, because that's the trend in New York City, hire a nanny. They don't want to put them into a childcare center. And the nanny needs to make $750 a week. That's a lot of money. So in order for someone to clear $750 a week to pay the nanny, you got to make like $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money. A lot of people don't really warrant getting a full-time nanny. They don't make enough money to do that. Yet they do, and then they don't get ahead. They keep going around on a vicious merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm.
Besides paying the nanny, you know, you got to pay Social Security tax, unemployment tax, disability, workers' comp insurance, and you got to pay an accountant to prepare payroll tax returns, and you get a credit on your tax return.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to offset all that money that you shelled out. So the people who are hiring nannies really should sit down, pencil and paper, and figure out, maybe it doesn't pay to go to work and hire a nanny at that cost. So that was what happened this week. So as the child grows older, child care should decrease. However, you know, it's expensive to send kids to camp and have after-school care and put them in all those lessons. So sometimes the child care doesn't decrease as much. Tuition increases.
So if you want your child well-rounded, it costs money.
If you can afford it. Tuition increases. Also, you got to decide whether you're working just to do that. If you stayed at home, you could do other things with your kid and not send them to ballet school and music lessons or all those other things, karate. So tuition,
karate, huh?
Yeah, well, tuition increases, but in New York City, that's not always the case. I'm hearing now pre-K is like $30,000 a year in some of the schools.
Tuition for what?
Pre-K. So, you know, you think tuition increases because college is so expensive.
That's just like...
Nursery school. Nursery school, tuition in middle school and lower grades in private schools in New York. I'm talking about private schools.
Who sends their kids to private school?
Oh, a lot of people in New York City. So anyway, again.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know what you're talking about here. Thanks, Jack.
Well, there's a lot of people.
That's a choice you make depending on your income level. That's not like, but there's a lot. It's not an assumed cost. See, this is when you're assuming things. See, you assume things a lot of the times,
I said tuition increases, generally speaking. Right,
what if you put a kid in public school?
Correct.
All right. Tuition public school latchkey. That's what I did.
Okay, public school latchkey. But when you get to college, it's going to increase over.
When you get to college,
school.
It's a whole nother ball
I'm
of wax.
I'm talking about, generally speaking, tuition increases over the lifetime of the child, right? But there are cases where the tuition is so outrageous, nursery school, grammar school.
Okay.
Private school is expensive in New York City.
Sure.
And there's a lot of people that send their kids to these private schools. So you got to also look at that. Are you working to send your kid to private school? You know,
that's a choice.
Think about it.
I don't think that's a good choice, but...
Well, sometimes the options are lousy. You live in a neighborhood where the school is so lousy.
Well, if you live in a neighborhood where the school is so lousy, now we're making assumptions that you don't make enough money to send your kid to private school.
No.
If you want to make that assumption, we're throwing assumptions out here left and right. Might as well make that assumption as well.
You know how expensive it is to live in New York City generally.
Yes.
So sometimes you're doing the best you can paying the rent or the mortgage. You don't have the money to pay for the private school, and your neighborhood school is not so great. That's all I'm saying.
So how about this? How about this? You then move to a better neighborhood.
Can't afford to
offset
move.
The cost, but you can afford to put it in private school. You're making no sense today, Flash.
Well, you know what? I'm just telling you, these are the things that happen.
I'm just telling you what a logical person would think in these situations.
Yeah, but some people don't always apply logic to their kids and their decisions.
Well, if they have these questions, please give us a call. Our number is 497-2128, and I will straighten you out quite quickly.
Andrew will fix your finances for you. Okay. Clothing and food increases. Right, as the kid gets older.
Well, that's another personal choice. When I was growing up, we went to a consignment shop, and I haven't bought clothing in about 7 years.
Oh, you do?
Thrift stores are the way to go. Next question. Yeah. I can knock these out all day.
The world is not, according to Andrew only. For the average person, the bigger they are, the more they eat, it costs more to feed them. The bigger they are, the more clothes they buy, and the more expensive their clothes are. Okay? You got
to
have a $120 pair of sneakers. I remember that.
I never got those.
You used to cry about that.
I can't even talk to you right now. Yeah.
Those sneakers.
This is all crap.
In Modell's.
Modell's doesn't sell sneakers for more than $50.
Oh, yeah? Back in the day, it did. Nike Airs. You had to have them. I wouldn't buy them. Housing increases because as a child gets bigger, they need more space. You can't share the room with the baby, the crib, when the kid is now 10. So, and especially if you have children of the opposite sex, you can't keep them in the same room forever. So, generally speaking, the bigger they are, the more room they need, and the bigger they are, the more house you need. Okay?
All right.
He agrees with that one?
I'll concur.
Transportation increases.
Why?
Well, because as the kids get older, generally, a lot of parents buy their kids cars. They have to give them gas money.
That was funny.
Andrew's laughing because, well, frankly, your sister got a car. So
she bought her own car. She worked a job.
I bought the car.
What'd you give her? How much did you give her?
I bought that car.
How much?
In the suburbs.
How much?
A lot of people.
How much was that car?
I don't know.
Come on.
You call her up. Or she'll call
it.
She'll call it.
$600.
Oh, I don't think so. So.
$600. Yeah. I'm throwing it out there. 1997, $600 for a car.
I don't think so. So as the kids get older, their transportation costs increase. They have to pay for gas, insurance, and cars. Or they pay for car service or the bus or whatever.
I wish my sister was listening right now.
She might be.
I doubt it. because she would be calling right now saying what a liar you are.
The car did not cost $600. Toys cost more as they get older, right? All those Nintendo and all those video games.
I didn't get those until I was much, much older.
You know, you said
I had a deprived life, child.
Yeah, deprived.
I was a deprived life.
I gave you a cardboard box, and I gave you for Christmas, and your sister got the toy that was inside that cardboard box.
I never got a car.
Because you lived in the city. Okay, here's a good one. Here's a subtle one. Vacation costs increase. Why? Because when you have a little baby who's not in school, you go on vacation any time all year long. When you have kids who go to school, you can only go on vacation during those breaks. And the cost of going anywhere on those specific weeks is double and triple the cost of any other weeks. So okay. It costs a lot more money to have. And you got to entertain your kids. You got to go to Disney. That's a parental requirement, you know. And you have to do other things. You had some really fabulous vacations growing up, didn't you, Andrew?
Yeah, we went camping.
Well, you went to the Olympics.
It was like $30.
You went to the Olympics.
We stayed at your friend's house.
But you went to the Olympics.
We didn't pay for the hotel. We drove there.
You also went skiing in Colorado. You know?
One time.
Well, you did.
I went on one glorious vacation.
One.
In my 29-year life.
And the last thing I say is entertainment costs increase too. The older they are, the more they cost. You got to go to the movies. They got to go to Chuck E. Cheese. They got to go to the mall. They need more money.
I think you're grouping a large age group together.
Well, I'm saying from 1 to 11 and then 11 to 21.
Chuck E. Cheese at 11?
Well, up to 11.
I guess.
Okay. So now.
So how much does it all come up to?
I don't know. It depends on your income. $200,000 is not outrageous.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Well, it costs a lot of money.
Over
20 years, that's $10,000 a year.
That's like a 17, they go to college. It's a whole different ball of wax. So 1 to 17, you're ballparking at 200 grand.
No, I'm just saying, generally speaking, $20,000 a year.
20 grand a year.
I mean $10,000 a year, 20 years.
10 a year for a kid.
Approximately. The average person.
That's if you don't send them to private school or anything.
Yeah, of course. The average person. The kind of lifestyle that you probably had. No, I was a coupon clipper. I got you at a discount.
I think it was like $300 or $400 a year. Are you kidding me?
$300 or $400 a year, right, Andrew?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we have the next group of people, the adult children called the boomerang kids. The ones who go away to college, graduate college, or move out, and then they come back for whatever reason.
Well, those are two different people, though.
But I'm just talking about them together, collectively. Adult children coming back home. Whether they moved out because they had a place and they came back for whatever reason. They might have got married. They might be divorced. They might have gone to college. They can't find a job. They might have had a job. They might have lost their job. Those are the boomerang kids. Coming back home.
Okay.
And the parents have to deal with it. And the kids have to deal with it. So what are the choice? What are the things that happen?
That doesn't sound so bad.
Well, it doesn't sound bad on your end. What about my end?
You just want to get rid of your kid.
There's a lot to be said about having some peace, serenity, and quiet time in my house as opposed to when the kids were home. 20 years kids home, you don't have any peace, quiet, or serenity.
Oh, come on now. You make it out like we're loud and obnoxious. I was never home.
Oh. Well, you were home for the first 15 years.
Okay. I bought Parker at 14.
Okay. So what do the kids come home with? They have financial issues. They often have college loans, high debt, credit card problems, car loans, and sometimes they can't pay them. So now the parents have to help with that. Okay? You got to help these kids so they can get back out there. Too many parents don't help their kids. They actually enable their kids to stay. They don't teach them how to regroup and get back out there.
Show them the tough love, Joe.
Should you charge them rent?
By your book, yes.
Of course you should charge them rent.
Next question.
Unless they're absolutely destitute. Because, you know, it's not fair. It's not fair. You have an added
cost.
It's
not fair. It's your child. Yeah, you brought this thing into the world.
Yeah, but not
you
for
made
the,
that choice to bring the
not
child
for
into the world.
The next 100
maybe
years.
You did not, maybe you didn't give him the right upbringing to give him the proper guidance. So that now, look what happened.
Now, this is what happens. So
it's come back home.
So they come back home. So don't enable their inability to support themselves. I'm not saying to throw them out. I'm saying there's a question. Sometimes you have to charge rent. So the kid will realize it can't stay around forever. It's also teaching them financial responsibility. And the parents, it affects the parents. You know, at that point, after the kids are gone, the parents are really should be saving for themselves their retirement. Because let me just tell you something. The kid ain't going to support them in retirement unless you want that to happen. That's pretty unhealthy. Okay? Don't bail out your kids. Help them restructure their debt. Help them learn and face adult issues. have them take a job. Have them take a part-time job. It doesn't necessarily have to be a career job. Have them take two part-time jobs. Oh, look at that face. If you could see this face, this tells it all. So, Andrew, how do you feel about being a boomerang kid? I was a boomerang kid.
I'm not talking to you anymore.
I was a boomerang kid. I left my husband. I went back home with two kids to my mother's house, and I stayed there for a few months until I got back on my feet. And he's really mad. Andrew's really mad. He's not talking.
I think we should go to a break. I think we need a minute here because we need some off-air time to discuss where we're going to go with this.
We're going to take a minute and we'll be back.
I'm coming home, tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home, tell the world I'm coming.
Back where I belong, I never felt so strong, eh? Feeling like it's nothing that I can't try. And if you feel me, put your hands high, 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 hey. And if you feel me, put your hands high, high, hey.
Okay, we're back.
I got a question for Jack. Who sings that song?
You gotta ask your mother that.
Cole, JT Cole, or somebody like that.
She's more hip than me.
I thought that was Dirty Diddy Money.
No,
I thought it was Diddy Money and someone else.
No, it
was some girl.
Cole, her name is Cole, and it's Coming Home.
I'm pretty sure that's Diddy. All right,
well,
I swear to God, if we can get a caller to confirm that, because we got Shazam or something in the studio, we can
Shazam that. We'll find out. But let's just wrap this up. So
wrap it up by what?
Coming home.
I could come home.
Home.
Flesh, you know what? I think you should let me come home because you keep telling me to buy a house.
Andrew,
you keep telling me to buy a house. Show after show, you tell me buy a house. Buy a house. So I'll come home, save the rent money.
No.
In about 2 years.
No.
I'll have enough saved up.
Listen, tell the listeners how old you are and how much you want to come
home. I'm 26 years old.
You are not 26.
I'm 26 years
old. No, he's not.
Why are you lying to the people?
Okay, so coming home, that ain't an option. Drew,
why not?
Drew, if you got on your... If you lost your job...
Can I ask a question?
Hurry up.
About 2 days ago, you said, Andrew, when are you buying a house?
That's right. I want you to buy a house.
I'm giving you the best, most feasible option
I don't need any options.
All right, how about this? We stop talking about me buying a house.
Okay.
Good.
If we stop
how this works.
Okay, we'll stop talking about buying a house.
This is on-air evidence. I can reference this show whenever you call and say, hey, Andrew, I saw this house on the market. Flesh, check Boomerang Kids. Boomerang Kids.
All right. Can you read the email that I got this week?
How did we wrap this up? All we wrapped up was me saying, let me home, and you said no.
That's it.
Mother would love to have me home.
Exactly. You see? Most mothers are nice.
Most
parents love their children and say, it's okay, come home.
It's
okay. And then no kid really wants to live at home with their parents at 30 years old.
Well, then why the heck do you keep asking?
Because you keep bothering me about this stuff.
Let's not talk about it anymore.
It's the show we're talking about today.
It's not good for both parties, the parents and the children. It's unhealthy.
Why?
It's not normal. The normal thing and the healthy thing is for you to live your own independent life.
So throwing your kid out at 24 with no job is a good thing to do.
You did not.
Oh, there it is.
You know,
it's all coming out now.
You have a nice job and a nice apartment. Yeah.
My wife and I are setting up a brokerage account for our daughter.
Who's this, from Scott?
Scott. I didn't get. I start at the top and read to the bottom, okay. And it says, "Thanks, Scott," at the bottom. So, thanks, Scott.
Scott.
Thanks,
Scott.
Scott says,
"Yeah,
my wife and I are setting up a brokerage account for our daughter, and are deciding between a 529 and a UTMA account. Our financial advisor suggested that most of his clients prefer a UTMA invested in tax-deductible securities, but I like the fact that a 529 would not impede on his daughter's future chances for securing college financial aid."
Okay. So what does he want to do? He wants to do a 529 or a custodial. A UTMA is a custodial account.
The question wasn't over.
I
proposed the question of whether a UTMA would be transferable to a 529, and our advisors suggested I refer that question to you.
Okay. So I'm talking from the tax aspect and also the investment aspect a little bit. I'm speaking to the tax, though. The 529 is tax deductible on your New York State tax return. You and your wife could deduct up to $10,000 a year, which averages about $1,000 tax savings. So that's automatically a return on your money. You put $10,000 away, you got $1,000 automatically back from that investment. The other thing is the 529 gross tax-free. You don't ever pay taxes on the money it makes. The custodial account does not grow tax-free. You have to pay tax on the income it earns through the life of the investment. You also may have to file tax returns for depending on the income it kicks out and the type of income it kicks out. The 529 can only be used for education. That is limited. A custodial account could be used for anything. In my opinion, I say go with a 529 plan if you're looking for a college savings plan. In New York, it's really a valuable tool. Like in New Jersey, you don't get the deduction. So in New York, you get that deduction, which to me is a great incentive to invest in that kind of a plan. Okay. How'd you like that answer? Was that okay?
I thought it was fantastic.
Okay, great. Andrew's very enthusiastic. We are bringing Number Nuts back this week.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
It's funny. We're so hip-hop oriented on this show. It's ridiculous.
Well, the opening act is a jazz tune. I'm very eclectic, you know.
We're in Brooklyn.
We are Brooklyn.
Yeah, we are Brooklyn. We all live in Brooklyn, and we all...
Can we open the show, Where Brooklyn At, from now on?
No, you get your own show and do that. How's that?
So I can leave this show?
No, you'll have a second show.
I'll have it.
Spinoff.
Spinoff, right. Okay, so,
Jack, who do I have to talk to about getting a second half hour so I can just bitch about my mother for...
It's a reaction show.
Yeah.
It's like the Republican reaction to the State of the Union.
I can definitely just knock everything she says for a half hour after our half hour, I think.
All right, boys. I'm going to question you today about counterfeit money. How much do you know about counterfeit money? All right?
Not that much.
No, not really.
Well, today you're going to learn some things, okay? Last year, how much phony cash snuck its way into the U.S. economy? A, $64 million, $150 million, or $22
million? $150 million.
22.
We are both wrong. $64 million.
Damn it.
Counterfeiting arrests jumped 28% in 2007 alone. So,
wait, was that last year or 2007, that number you referenced?
From 2007 up. Okay. When it jumped up 27. What did I say? 20.
I don't know. Just move on.
28%.
Move on, old lady.
see how he talks about me? This is an interesting fact. In the beginning, there were coins. So in order to produce fakes, people would clip the edges of legitimate coins. That's where it came to clipping. And would melt them together to make new ones. Interesting, huh?
What? I don't understand.
Coin clipping. That's how you counterfeited money. Because coins were the money in those days.
No, so I got that. But what I don't understand. You take the edges off.
They would.
A little piece.
They would clip the edges of the legitimate coins and would melt them together to make new ones. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just telling you what I'm reading is.
Right,
so 400 years ago, the penalty for counterfeiting. Okay.
Death.
There's three choices. A, you get your hands chopped off. B, death. Or C, stoning.
Going with death.
Stoning.
Death is right.
Wow.
Okay. Pretty serious, huh? In America, who printed warnings right on the money itself? It said, to counterfeit is death. A, Benjamin Franklin. B, Abraham Lincoln. Or C, Teddy Roosevelt.
Sounds like Teddy Roosevelt.
That sounds like a Teddy Roosevelt maneuver.
Nope. Benny Franklin did that.
Wow.
Maybe that's why they put him on 100, huh?
Counterfeit is death. This is pretty serious, huh? Okay. What agency was originally founded to suppress the major counterfeit currency racket going on in the U.S.? A, the FBI, B, the Federal Reserve, or C, the Secret Service?
FBI.
Secret Service.
That's right, Secret Service. That was their major reason for formation. That's amazing.
That's still their major function at this point.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In 1865, that was the Civil War, boys, the nation was in somewhat of a financial crisis. How much of the money was counterfeit? Was it one-third of the money, one-tenth of the money, or one-quarter of the money?
Quarter.
A third.
That's right, a third.
Damn.
Man, that's a lot of counterfeit, right? That's a lot of counterfeit money. So counterfeit money is not just for petty criminals. It's also used by countries as a means of warfare to destabilize the economy. You just simply flood the country with fake bills, damaging their currency. So this tactic was used, this is true or false, this tactic was used by A, the Taliban in Afghanistan, true or false?
False.
False.
Correct. Great Britain during the Revolutionary War?
True.
True.
True. The Nazis with the Allies?
True.
False.
Well, that was true, too. They had the Jews in the concentration camp.
The Jews.
The Jews in the concentration camps were forced to make counterfeit dollars.
You're funny.
I'm just reading this information. I think this is fascinating. Totally
fascinating. I was talking to my friend about the show last week, and he kept laughing about how you called it the pot.
I made a mistake.
You said it like 5 times.
Oh, I did not. Okay, so here we go.
Keep smoking the pot, lady.
Okay, smoke the pot.
Smoke the pot.
For nearly a decade, the Americans are accusing North Korea of producing and flooding the U.S. economy with counterfeit money. The money is so good, they call it the super dollar. Okay? The North Koreans, the Russian mafia, and Republican organizations in North Korea are all suspect distributing the super dollars. It is believed that one out of every 10,000 bills in circulation today is a super dollar. Okay?
Damn.
So the question is,
what's the question? That's a good fact. That's a really good fact. And I applaud you for finding that one. One in ten is a super dollar.
No, 1 in 10,000.
1 in 10,000.
Question: do you have any super dollars?
No, we all probably do.
All right, one time.
We all probably do. All right, here's a true and false. I blew that question. Here's a true and false. If you work at an establishment where you accept cash, like a bartender or a retail clerk, and you catch somebody handing counterfeit money, according to the Secret Service, is it against the law for you to return it and ask for real money? True or false?
False. You're supposed to take that money and then ask for the real payment.
I'd say true. You can't go back to the person.
The answer is it's against the law for you to return the money and ask for real money. You must accept it, turn it in, and not get reimbursed.
Right.
That's a crappy law. Isn't that a crappy law?
You gotta check your bills.
Well, no, dude. You checked the bill. You accepted it.
No, you have to take it.
You have to take it.
That's what it's
saying. Once it touches your hand, man, is what they're saying. You have to take that. So you're out.
So you know what they suggest? Here's what they suggest. Keep the bill from the passer. Delay the passer with some excuse without putting yourself in danger. Contact the police. Observe the passer's description and the companion. And
are you going to get reimbursed at that point?
No, you're not going to get reimbursed.
So
but
what's
you'll,
the point?
I know,
but,
really.
But you'll get the...
You'll get them arrested.
You'll get them arrested.
But what if you don't know? If I got a super dollar, how am I supposed to know?
You lose.
The real answer is give it back as change later.
Yes, to someone else.
Oh, that's really not a good solution.
Just hope it's not a 100.
Okay, here's my last question. My last question is, more than 85% of the fake bills in 2005 were... A, 5s, 10s, and 20s. B's, 50s. C's, 100s.
What was the percentage?
85%, more than 85% of the fake bills passed in 2005.
Well, I go with A.
5s, 10s, and 20s.
Yeah, the first one.
Not 50s or not 100s?
No.
Well, you're both right. 5s, 10s, and 20s. So that was pretty interesting information.
Andrew beat me by one.
Yeah, boy.
I had idea that it was...
Whipping work.
That not only do the criminals use counterfeit money, but the governments do that as warfare. That's very interesting information.
Well, it makes sense.
I never knew that. Did you know that?
Yes. I know everything.
I didn't know that. Jack, you knew that?
No, I didn't.
No.
I'm a genius.
Oh, Andrew is so full of himself today.
It's a good day today. I'm in a good mood.
You came in here crying the blues, how tired.
I'm tired, but I'm in a good mood. I can't be tired and in a good mood. Okay. Are those two like really that polar opposite of each other?
So next week we're going to talk about the other end of the spectrum, retirement. What to do, how to do it, what's going to happen when we retire.
Why?
You two are not interested, but there are people out there who are interested in retirement. And I have a special guest coming in who's going to talk about being retired and how he approaches. His name is Bill Russo.
Bill Russo's
coming. I don't think you know Bill Russo. He's going to come in and talk about how...
I know everyone you know.
Well, this time you don't.
I don't believe it.
So I look.
What does Bill Russo do?
Bill Russo's retired.
Retired what?
He's a retired city worker.
What do you do?
All right. Well, let's talk about Bill. Let's talk to Bill about that next week.
I'm intrigued now.
Well,
you don't talk to me about anything before the show or after the show, and I just show up here. You know, I'm just luckily I'm so smart
that I can off the cuff. You know, in the next
off the cuff. Answer these questions and have an intelligent conversation. You know, you got all these notes and stuff.
Because you refuse to do anything.
I refuse.
You refuse.
I do not refuse. You just don't tell me the topic until a half hour. Oh. You said today, did you get my email? I didn't get the email.
Okay, can we say goodbye this
week? No, I'm not done complaining. Can I get my moment? Damn it, Jack. That's it. It's over.